In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That was a marathon Old Testament reading this morning, the first of the two creation narratives. This narrative is a very interesting one. It's a narrative that gives a sense of the divine purpose in things. It's not a textbook in geophysics or astrophysics. It doesn't give us all the data and detail, but it gives us an incredibly important dynamic. In the beginning, when God created, there was darkness and chaos, says this version. This is not creation out of nothing. This is a understanding of a dynamic of creation that has something to work with. There's a chaos. There's confusion. There's disruption. There's darkness. And then God says, let there be light. And from that moment on, the dynamic of the narrative is God's ordering of things, development of things, from the raw, from the inchoate, from the confused, comes order and development and diversity and refinement. Interestingly, and this is just a sideline, when one looks at evolutionary theory and evidence, it also indicates a sequence of development, of ordering, of refining, of change and development and so on. But that's another story. That's a good one, though. This particular narrative puts things in the 6 days, and so you come to the seventh day and the hallowing of a period of rest. Psychologically very important, and not just for God. It must have been tiring, but for everybody. It introduces a value into the nature of creation, that rest and recreation is part and parcel of the dynamic of creation. And in this particular narrative sequence, we have the emerging of human being at the end, if you're almost at the pinnacle of the development. The next narrative that begins, that comes after this one, has the creation of Adam, of man, and then the creation of a whole lot of other things as man's companions, and finally woman. And that's become the problematic. That's the Garden of Eden story. The Garden of Eden narrative is different to this one. The human being here is made as one in the image of God. In our image, we create human being, male and female. The image of God is an image of relational being, of reciprocity, of complementarity, of a dynamic togetherness. This is one of the powerful insights that comes out of this narrative. The dynamic of creation, a dynamic purpose of development, of refinement, all focusing in the end on a relational understanding of the nature of the Creator, because that is what is revealed in the creation of human being. And then out of Romans, we get another dimension that also echoes something of creation, don't we? Here Paul refers to the waiting and the groaning of creation. Sense of hopeful expectation of things getting better. A liberty from bondage is the language used. A restoration of relationship is sought for. In this past week, these kind of texts and these kind of themes have redounded with me with a new resonance. As you know, I come from New Zealand. My wife's family come from the Canterbury region. We own a house in Christchurch. We had the news yesterday that the house and our tenants is safe. The tenants are due to leave anyhow, and already there is another family who lost everything, ready to go in. It is quite traumatic for a nation of 4 million to lose its second largest city in one fell swoop, which is basically what has happened. You will be aware of the images and the amazing sense of disruption that's occurring. And it's in the light of that that the Matthean text has another twist to it. Yes, it is true, worry gets us nowhere. Doesn't add an hour to our life, that is true. And this rhetorical, what do we eat and what do we drink and what do we wear? Now normally, of course, in the context of this passage, this is highlighting the fact that we often distract ourselves with worrying and focusing on the wrong kind of priorities. The text reminds us, God knows that we need to be clothed and fed and sheltered. The text urges indeed, to seek first God's kingdom. And so the question that comes through in the context of an earthquake such as has been experienced in New Zealand, and of course it has happened elsewhere and other similar disasters take place, the question in a context of disruption and destruction is, where is God and where is God's kingdom in this? There's a poignancy about the question, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear when the house has been spun on its foundations and everything has been disrupted? When there's no power, no water, you're told not to use the toilet, don't shower, don't go back inside your house, the boulder is about to come down on top of it, just stay in what you've got. It's pretty dramatic and pretty traumatic. And it hammers home these questions. There are times when these are very, very real questions. They're not just rhetorical ones. And in the context of the Christchurch disaster, there's been some amazing stories come out of how even in the midst of such loss and destruction, new kinds of community get formed, where neighbours band together. Oh well, they say, you know, the power's out, the freezers are thawing, we better cook this food up. So out come the barbecues. A mass cook-up occurs. Let's go and find some bottles that weren't broken in the quake. Oh yes, we have some bottles of unbroken wine. Well, let's break them now, break them open. And let's celebrate the fact that we are at least alive. And so it happens. New kinds of community emerge out of that rubble, almost literally. Just recently, I read a little book that has explored the question of the way in which we think about God, the metaphors we use for God, the language we use for God, as indicating the beliefs we might have. And very often, of course, we think of God in terms of the divine author, the one in control. It's echoed in the collect we use today. We like the sense that somehow God's got it sorted. So, divine author, the almighty, the rock, the father. But there are other images too that come to us through the biblical tradition. God is the one who repairs and restores. An echo even of the creative dynamic. Out of chaos, God will bring new life. The one who is the comforter, the God of compassion, the God of care. The key that comes through the Genesis narrative also comes through in many of the images and terms we use for God. Terms of relationality and presence. Terms which come to some sense of fruition and fullness when we focus for a moment on Christ as the one who is God with us, God for us, God alongside us, God who has suffered in and with his creation. Being made in God's image is being made as relational beings who also feel and suffer and must grow and change and yearn through all sorts of situations. And it gives us a clue to the kingdom of God. How do we think of God and God's kingdom when our world is literally shaken to its foundations? And a verse from the Psalms, I think it has come to me, or was it from a hymn? Breathe through the earthquake, wind and fire. Out of chaos, out of destruction, out of disorder, comes again the still small voice of God, calling forth new forms of being and relationship and care and compassion. God is not, as was once, there was a program, I remember when I was in England many years ago, a television program, I think, Jim will fix it, Mr. Fix It. God is not, often we want God to be Mr. Fix It, who will magically put everything right. But that's not the God of the Creator, that's not the God of creation, that's not the suffering God, the Father of Jesus. The God that we worship, that we seek, that we respond to, who comes to us in our realities, is the God who is with us in and through our suffering, whatever that may be. In a sense then, the doing of God is the being of God. God's loving care expressed in so many and varied ways. God is with us in our sufferings, wherever and however they may come to us. God is with us, empowering our ability to cope. God is with us, enabling our recovery in repair and restoration and care. God is with us, leading us to new life, arising out of whatever disaster has befallen us. As I say, in Jesus the divine nature is revealed, Emmanuel, God with us. And in situations such as has been experienced in New Zealand recently, when huge disruptions occur, there's a tremendous human urge to go and be with one's loved ones. If that earthquake had happened in my hometown where I'm living, where my wife was, I would be very powerfully urged to go back, wouldn't I? And there are stories, as I say, the story that came through about the people having to cook up from out of the thawing freezers came out of a situation of a husband and wife. She is actually a member of parliament. He was at home when it happened. And the strong need for them to be together, to face this together, to work this out together. And that gives us a bit of an insight, a bit of a clue into what it is for God, for the mission of God, and for the church as enabling and enacting that mission. Being present, being with. Being present in and to the world, being with people in their hour of need, bearing the presence of God's suffering love. There's a strong and powerful ministry that is taking place in Christchurch, even though the churches are destroyed. I know Christchurch quite well. I know many of the churches that have been destroyed quite well. I've not heard of deaths or injury to anybody I know, but I am concerned for the three who died when one church collapsed when they were working on the organ, and for those who died in the cathedral when the tower came down when they were visiting. Some 20-odd, I believe. So there's much suffering. There's great disruption in terms of infrastructure and buildings and church life. And yet, ministry is continuing. And people are being ministered to as Christians, as clergy, come together and work together and become this presence of God in that horrendous context. And significantly, as we come and make Eucharist, as we gather around this table, as we communicate with the mystery of God's presence in the Eucharistic elements and symbols, so we are touched by the presence of God. A presence which is not confined to this table, but which goes out through the people of God into the world. This is the spiritual moment that undergirds, allows, and empowers the moments of engagement in these real-life situations, such as we've seen in New Zealand, and such, as we know, happens elsewhere. And this is what makes, in many respects, the involvement and engagement in Christian faith not just an airy fairy idea, but a concrete reality that is so important and powerful in our lives. To God be the glory. Amen.